Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
Street Chess Motherfucking Podcast,
where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go. It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
What it good be? Hopefully this is what it should be. This your boy N-O-R-E.
What up, is DJ EFN.
And it's Drink Champs Happy Hour. Make some noise! I usually give a long intro and you know, we wild out, but we understand that we came a little late, so we gotta, you know, use your time precious. So we're gonna get straight into it, right? The million question that everybody wants to know. Do NBA players smoke butt?
I can't talk about other NBA players. I did.
In the NBA and out of the NBA.
Yeah.
Let's make some noise, right? Because I've seen, like, like, you know, when people get hurt, they prescribe, like, pills and all that shit. Yeah. And when, like, yeah. I was just, I had injured my, my knee area earlier, and I smoked the blunt. I just totally forgot about it. Yeah. Like, it was just, what do you feel about that?
I think you're right. I mean, they don't care if we, you know, get fucked up on alcohol and make a mess with that. And then, you know, and then that prescription business is a $1 billion industry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that's what it is. But, I mean, knowing that the 15 years in the NBA, all it took for me was a joint. I didn't need none of the other bullshit. Right. So I just smoked me a joint at the end of the night. It'd be fine.
And he stayed on probation. He was like the criminal of the NBA. He stayed on probation.
How was that? Like, how was that? How was people?
I mean, you just got to, you know, you just got to be, I played a long time and learned from my vets. You know, you just got to be able to maneuver the system. Like I said, I'm not somebody that's gonna be popping pills and drinking all kinds of alcohol. I'll drink on occasions, but you know me, I'm a medicator. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, found ways to make it work.
Now, sis, you are Gucci down to the socks.
Rings
right
and watch, fizz with rock.
Yeah, I'm saying everything you got on. Like, what's going on?
It's a fetish.
Okay, they tell me when your name was brought up, they said she run LA. Is that the truth?
She don't run any. She might walk at
her.
Okay.
I'm from Compton. So, I mean, I'm respected. I'm not going to say I run LA. Like, nobody really runs LA. So, but I'm loved. I got a little pull.
What happened with you and Ray J? What was that?
Damn. She went straight for it.
What happened? What's going on, sis?
So, it was an old school concert. And for people that don't know, I'm Suge Knight's niece.
Mm-hmm. Big up Suge Knight, goddammit.
So,
did a lot for this city, goddammit.
Thank you. So it was like one of those concerts, like Snoop was there, Warren was there. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like people from Death Row that were there, and I was like really excited to see him. Mm-hmm. So we were walking in the hallway, and he bumped me.
Word?
So he was like, bitch, you saw me, and the spirit left my body. Because I'm like... But you seen One Wish. Like, you're an RBC. You ain't even supposed to be here, first of all. Like, you ain't seen no hook on none of this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but y'all knew each other before this?
Yeah.
So
it wasn't like he didn't know.
I thought that was your first encounter.
I'm thinking, maybe it's excusable.
No. So he just got, like, you know, real tough. And I guess he thought WAC 100 was... somebody, and it was gonna do something, and WAC said, you probably need to go and apologize. And Gambino was there, Gamcino, he was there, and Gam was like, Ray J, you might need to go and apologize, because it's not gonna end well. Now, the fight between him and Badass had nothing to do with him, because I would have got somebody that could beat him up to beat up to fight Ray J. So that had nothing to do with me. After Black's Home rectified it and made him, I was done. So Badass and Ray J had that beef from back when Suge, you know, it's some old Death Row shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you involved in this Death Row thing as well? Mm-hmm. Now, explain to us, for like people who don't know, like, explain your involvement with the Death Row thing.
I mean, just really produce, you know. I mean, I saw a vision, you know. Holly and I linked up about 5 years ago and been rocking ever since. And the first
film
thing
production,
the first thing I ever said is, man, Suge's the only one that hasn't told his story yet.
Wow.
Everyone has told it. And this is before I knew, you know, this is before I knew Straight Outta Compton was even coming out. I'm just like, you know, no one's heard from Suge. No one's heard from Suge. I just kept trying to, you know, ingrain that in her head. And then, you know, Straight Outta Compton came out, and then Tupac came out, and all these other movies came out. I'm just like, you know, Suge was the mastermind, really, you know, behind this whole death row movement, and his story would, you know, is compelling and still going on.
And you're raised, you're born from California.
I'm in the Bay, Sacramento, and then I've been in LA since I was 17. I went to UCLA, so I just, you know, I grew up around, you know, California music my whole life. I'm
so
California
through and through. What did you think about the Tupac movie? Because
be honest.
You know you'll back to you next then.
Yeah, I don't know, I had mixed feelings. You know, obviously, I still, even watching the movie, I got chills in some parts and was still excited to see.
Because dude looked like him,
right,
for sure.
Yeah, right. Then, but to me, I just wanted to know some, you know, more about what I didn't know. You know what I mean?
It was scary. I seen him another day, and he felt like he was funny. I didn't even know how to say
hi. They casted that perfectly in terms of,
I mean, overall, I liked it. You know, like I said, like, I wanted to get more information that I didn't already know about it. You know what I mean? But overall, it was a cool project.
Now, what is this death row thing? Is this going through Stars? Is that
It's in the process, so I linked up with one of the creator producers of Stars, and he loved the pitch, loved the project, so we're, he said it's going to be the next biggest thing.
What is the project? Is it
it's going to be a series. Like a power type. So we'll be able to really, you know, and I explained to her, because she gets in her feelings sometimes when she hears stuff about Suge, and it's always bad. And I try to tell her, like, unless you have a larger platform, you have to tell people what they are, you know, basically, like, Suge is known for being a larger than life thug, or whatever persona may be.
Right.
So, you know, my idea when I pitched, you know, was trying to talk to her about was, you know, if we do a series, then we can go into every character and develop the character and show the good, bad, and the good side and bad side.
Genius.
You know,
that's actually genius.
I thought of that for something with me and Jada, but to do it for Death Row, that's actually genius.
What made me think of it was, I'm a big Narcos fan, and as fucked up as Pablo Escobar was and blowing up buildings and killing kids, they didn't have enough time to tell his
story. Where you can come back and talk.
Humanize him. You rooted for him even at some points. And I think, you know, Suge wasn't killing like that, but Suge has some bad shit in his past, but if you're able to develop this whole story, you'll be able to tell the good with the bad.
Right. So. And you're right, because they got even, I think Suge's even in the Biggie movie, like, and you're right. Like, so... is there ever going to be a Suge Knight movie? Does that make more sense? Like, as opposed to, like, Death Row?
Because you can't tell a Death Row story in 2 hours. And based on the people's truths that they told in their movie.
Wait, hold on. Is that how you felt about the Tupacs?
People told their truths. Like,
Strata Compton,
that was their truth. Right. Michelle A. had her truth.
Right.
L.T. Hutton, that only knew Tupac for 75 days, he had his truth. You know, I felt like John Singleton should have kept that.
Wow.
You know, John Singleton.
He talked about it on our podcast.
John Singleton knows Pac, and you can't talk to John Singleton without John even crying. Like, if you say something about Pac, John gets emotional.
Wow.
And so, like, he was like, you know, I think LT did it for the wrong reason. I don't feel like LT did it to glorify Pac. I just felt like, you know, they did a Biggie movie, I'm gonna do a Pac movie. Like, what do you know about Pac besides the shit that you Googled? You know what I'm saying? You could Google that, and I could have did that on Lifetime.
So you was really serious when you said he really didn't know Pac like that?
Everybody knew Pac. Right. You know, that's what, when people die, you know how people die, and they put you in heaven, and you know you damn well people going to hell.
Uh-huh.
But they'd be like, oh, he's up in heaven. No, bitch, he's in hell. So it was like...
It's just like how you go to a bad person's funeral and they try to act like he a good nigga.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, when a person dies, you can't verify. So I can say, like, you know, like I'm gonna use my grandmother. My grandmother died, so I can tell you a whole bunch of stories about my grandmother.
Right.
She's not here to say if it was true or not. That's how I feel about the Tupac one. That's how I felt, and I felt like everybody does something, and they always say, you know, focus on the negative for Suge, but they don't remember. Like, there's certain people. Like, I remember Suge was paying people's mothers was losing their houses, and Suge paid their houses off.
You know what's very interesting to me, right? Which is the most interesting thing about like the Suge when I hear other people talk about Suge is always Daz and Corrupt, because Daz doesn't like it, and Corrupt always says something amazing about Suge, and it's like crazy. Like,
but remember who was the strongest person in the dog pound? it was corrupt. And the corrupt carried dads through the whole fucking, you know, so, you know, you
but
know,
you
like,
understand what I'm saying. Yeah, like, you know, that was amazing like, to me. Like one of them life, bigs him up and one of them doesn't.
That's like, to me, I felt like, you know, like, you know, Master P only gave Silk Shaka a record deal because that was his brother. Right. He knows Silk couldn't rap.
Right.
So I felt like. So I felt like.
She cut deep today and she didn't even have a shot yet. So, please get her a cup.
This is every day.
So I feel like, you know, because Daz was Snoop's cousin, they was like, come on, Daz, you know, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And then so niggas was fucking with their feelings. Like, these hoes was for everybody. So you mad at Suge because he was fucking a bitch. Suge would get in your head if you let him. You know, so you gotta, you can't, like, don't look him straight in the eyes and don't feed him after midnight because the motherfucker gonna get you.
Right.
So, but, you know, a person will only do to you what you allow them. So that's the whole thing with Suge. So people can say, Suge did a lot of shit, but he, like, made a lot of motherfuckers rich.
Yes, he did. Well, actually, when you think about it, the way Death Row was structured for a black company, a hip-hop owned company, was one of the most brilliant things. They were selling some of the most records ever. You know what I'm saying? And they'll never have another era like that.
Right.
So he has to be. He has to. His memory can't die.
You got to think in the time span too. It was only 2 years. You know? They made it seem like it was a 10-year process.
Yeah. That was crazy. The amount of projects put out in those 2 years.
You know, and then everybody on Death Row had something out. Like they weren't shelving people like maybe assign people and have them sitting on the shelf. You know. Paying them people, but Suge, each artist had a project, whether it blew up, everybody was working, and I like the fact that he got people, local people, because Suge knows everybody, like him and Mary J. Blige are good friends, like, but he got Jewel to sing on Tupac shit, he got, you know, Michelle Latis, he could have went out, but everybody, it was an in-house thing, he didn't go outside to grab anybody, if it was somebody outside, like, you know, Pac, of course, you know, from, you know, his whole Oakland roots, he reached out to Richie Rich. He reached out to, you know, the, you know, Judah, you know, you know, the people, the people that did the All Eyes on Me. So that's something about Suge that, like, I admire because he took care, and I think Suge took care of too many people, and he got himself in deep. You know what I'm saying? Because you only. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how niggas get rich and, you know, you buy homies. You know what I'm saying? But I just felt like that was his whole downfall, just not leaving the hood, just not, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta outgrow the hood. Like, I don't care how much you want to keep it real, there's certain doors you got to walk in by yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? No matter how much you want to hold the homie down or whatever. Now, what was your favorite team you played for?
Probably, to be honest, the 2007 Warriors, the first time, the We Believe team. So that
I
was
thought you
the,
said the Lakers.
Nah, the Warriors. The Warriors.
Yeah, you fucking me up
right now. I mean, the Lakers are my favorite team all time. Still my favorite team. I love when I was there, you know, fucking with Kobe and them. But the favorite team I played on was definitely that Warrior team.
Do you think, I'm surprised you said the Warriors, but do you think the NBA is too soft now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember, there used to be fist fights in the NBA. Right?
And I mean, I was getting suspended before I retired. I was getting suspended 2 games for pushing people. You know,
or cussing
at a ref. This is a game suspension. And back in the day, you used to really be scrapping it. It would just be like hockey. Go sit down for a second, then, you know, come back at the game. But it's different, but I understand where the NBA is trying to go. They're obviously trying to clean up their image, and they want people to score a lot of points. You know what I mean? So that takes away from the defense and the physicality of the game. So you just got to adapt and get left behind. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I had my run when I had it. I wish it could have been a little bit more physical. I grew up watching, you know, the Pistons and the Lakers and the Pistons, the Boston Celtics and the Bulls back in the 80s. You know, that's what I wanted, you know, was hoping it would be like when I got there. But it was cool while it lasted, but it's definitely a lot softer now. But like I said, I understand where they're trying to take the league. So
who was the person that you played against and you was like, you never wanted to play against them? Like, it was hard. Like,
it wasn't that I never wanted to play against, because I always wanted to play the best, because I was the one every night that had to guard the best player. So I was guarding LeBron, Kobe, KD, you know, whoever, Melo, Ginobili, D-Wade.
Were like the renegade of every team.
I loved that part. So it wasn't the one I didn't want to play against. Like, the better you were, the more I wanted to play against you. But I would probably say the coldest dude I played with was definitely Kobe.
Right.
Monster.
Kobe?
Kobe.
Okay. And you played with Kobe too.
With him and against him. Yeah.
So you're saying you picking him for both?
Yeah, both.
Wow. That's dope.
He's just a different beast.
Now I heard something like about Tom Brady, how he trains with his people. Mm-hmm. Is Kobe like that?
I think there's a misconception of him, because if he doesn't fuck with you, he's not really gonna fuck with you. But if he opens up, he's cool. You know what I mean? There were several times where I would drive out to Orange County, you know, for the night and work out with him the next day. We hit the track, hit the weight room, work out, you know. So when he and I definitely bonded, but as far as other people, I'm not sure. I know now he's kind of mentoring some of the younger guys, which I like seeing, because I mean, his knowledge, you know, his understanding of the game is endless.
All right, we're gonna keep it all the way real right here. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Might have been around 31 for me. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's done, it's gone, it's out of here. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost, right? Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? You getting that Sergeant Slaughter haircut? Any bald spots yet? How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there and you ain't doing nothing about it? I'm asking you, do you want a bald spot to pop up, or do you want to do something about it first? Do you want your hairline to recede, or do you want to do something about it first? Why do guys turn to weird, crazy shit? And when there's just medicine and science that can help you with this? 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and other wellness things for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional now. You don't have to go bald, unless you just... this is your style. Hims connects you with the real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help keep your hair. Keep that motherfucker. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. I know, man, my boy Eddie's always getting these gas station supplements. And yeah, I'm talking about Eddie the ass eater. Prescription solutions backed by science. Real science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's easy. Answer a few quick questions. Doctor will review and can prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. I wasn't a believer, but like I mentioned, Eddie Giggs used to get all his supplements from the gas station. I mean, seriously. And then now he got with the program. You know, our listeners right now get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go for hims.com/drink. That's forhims.com/drink. forhims.com/drink. forhims.com/drink.
Have you ever been on a team where you hated your teammate?
No, not at all. I think, you know, I've been on teams or gone to teams where I thought I didn't like somebody, but when I got a chance to meet them, it was real cool.
Like, I did tours with people I hated. I'm not gonna dodge it.
I think, you know what I mean, when you were a team, you with your team more than with your family. We with each other every single day, all day.
Because that's what I'm about to ask you. Like, how is that? How is that camaraderie? Like, when you, because you guys are like, what is it, 16 players on a basketball team? And you guys just meet each other,
everywhere.
And then all of a sudden, you guys gotta hit 48 states together. Like, how do
the chemistry is different.
And you gotta remember, all men is naturally like alphas. Right. We're all naturally alphas.
This is the best of the best.
So how does that work?
Yeah. I think the chemistry is most important. And when you're able to play with a bunch of great players and keep the egos aside, that's right. When you have something special.
Because they say that the way you know somebody is either you go to jail with them, mm-hmm. or you go on tour with them.
Yeah.
And then you will know exactly who that person is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, there's people you may mess with more than others, but I can't really say that there's people you just completely dislike on team. I've never been on a team like that.
Well, okay. Ask me if he ever played on a team everybody didn't like him.
Yeah, there we go. Let's go.
You gonna ask me?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Wait, what team he played with?
This is not my where the camera at? I don't know what to do with this shit right here. Don't try to hold this shit with me. Mm-hmm.
It's this guy. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna even say it.
Please.
But Austin Rivers, mm-hmm. because like Austin Rivers
Austin
got
Austin Rivers,
the,
that's
yeah,
Doc Rivers.
Doc's little girl.
Okay.
It's like he
you guys smoking? The case is below all joints. Mm-hmm. We got an NBA player to smoke on camera. We doing it, man. At first of all, hold on, I forgot. God, let's pick up the Hitman Coffee for hosting us today. This is a dope spot. You can come here. It's a lounge. It's private. You bring your own thing. You come here and you burn it up. But okay, now what are you talking about?
I don't like players that have the Kobe arrogance, but not the Kobe game. And that's how he is. Like, you would think he was, like, really Kobe. And I'm like, bro, come on now. You just on the team because your daddy is the Kobe. Keep that thing, you know. So I didn't like it. I didn't like Austin. I didn't. Matt loves everyone.
You mean politically correct?
Well, saying, I know it's the business. You know what I mean. So whether you know you really fuck with someone or not, at the end of the day, you're trying to win a championship. So you want you want to make sure he know. I mean, I was the first person that came up to Austin and told him, you know, LA is a little different. You know what I mean? It's more than just basketball. You need anything, you know, holler at me. You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at things. And I may not be a best friend to hang out off the court, but I fuck with all of my teammates.
Right. So what is the best era in basketball? What was the best era like?
Celtics, Lakers.
Whether when you was involved or not, whatever you think is the best era in basketball.
Man, probably late 80s, 90s.
What we talk about?
And there was a lot. I mean, obviously, you know, with Kobe
and
them.
Talking Bird and... Oh, I'm not going too far.
Yeah, no, Bird, Magic.
Jordan, Magic.
You know, the Knicks back then. Like I like the Knicks back then. The 92. Yeah, the first Dream Team. I mean, that was a great time of basketball. A lot of amazing Hall of Famers, and they really got to play physical basketball. You know what I mean? Wasn't no flag football type shit out there. So that's what I grew up watching and loved and wished that the NBA could have stayed that way just a little longer.
Okay. What's the best era in hip-hop?
Oh, the 90s.
Jeff Rowe.
The 90s. God damn it.
Said that without hesitation.
God damn it. The 90s.
No, there's no question
about it. Okay, now when you say the 90s, you're talking Death Row.
I know, I'm talking about music.
The whole decade.
East Coast, West Coast, everywhere in between. You know what I mean? Because it was real music. It wasn't, you couldn't get away with putting out no bullshit. You could get away, anybody could put an album out today or a song.
Oh, it's horrible,
And it's disappointing. You know what I mean? I think music would be a whole lot different if Pac and Biggie were still around, because I think you would have to, they'd have the hot bar so high.
Right. And you can't get
there's a lot of, you know, those two come to mind at most, but a lot of bullshit slides through the crack these days because, I mean, one, because of social media, but two, is just because there's no one really holding motherfuckers accountable.
Like, when you think about it, Pac and Biggie was 24 years old.
Babies. Young.
They were 24. So like, that's crazy.
They would really be OGs now.
They would just now be OGs. That's crazy. Because they'd be in their 40s now,
Just be becoming OGs.
Somebody told me they were like 9 or something when Pac died. I was like, fuck.
Right.
I
missed that.
Do you ever get mad when you see like these younger generation people?
She gets mad at everything.
Who don't really respect like the OGs. They don't respect like, because like at the end of the day, right? I heard you say earlier, you said you're 40, right?
44.
You're 44. Okay, I'm 40, right?
Fuck you.
So our era, like, even if we didn't respect our elders, we didn't let them know that.
Yeah, right.
Like, we would... We would be like, ah, I ain't fucking with whatever. When they around, we're showing them respect. Right. We're doing... This nowadays, this generation, they don't give a fuck about what came
before. I'm glad you asked me that.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to say, there's just a particular person that... I'm just going to say his name, Wack 100. Uh-huh. I feel like the way that he disrespects legends is like, it's just total, it's just disrespectful. Like you said, like, we grew up like, you know, we respected our elders, and then for him to get on and he said some things about Pac and Pac's mother, bro, you never knew Pac.
Oh, wow.
You came around with Death Row when Suge was getting out of jail and trying to pick up the pieces. Right. You never met Pac. So you can never say that, you know, and disrespect, as a person, as, you know, however you feel about, you know, Pac. You know, like, even, like, I didn't listen to East Coast rap when we were beefing with Bad Boy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That was forbidden. We couldn't listen to that. Mm-hmm. I used to sneak and listen to Hypnotize. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
So, that is a dope story.
So, him to, everywhere I go, someone has love about Pop, you know what I'm saying? Except for bitch ass Funkmaster Flat. Flex, but everybody else, like, they always, no matter how you feel, you're gonna say something. Pop was dope, Big was dope. Mm-hmm. Like, we love Biggie out here. You know what I'm saying? And they love Pac in New York. So for him to get on here and he to say that Pac was this, and Pac, for you not to even know this man, and then speak ill of this man, and then bring his innocent mother into it, that's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Then he gets on, and then he disrespects Bone Thug and Harmony. Mm-hmm. You cannot take anything away from Bone Thug and Harmony. If they smoked a mountain of coke, snorted a mountain of cocaine a fucking day. That's not your, why are you judging these people that they actually are legends?
Right.
You know, Bones still sell out shows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you're just on social media, you know, being like disrespectful for, and I just hate the whole disrespect behind people nowadays. You know, then for the little boy said, you know, little Yachty or whatever his name is, said he was better than Pac. How?
Oh yeah, that was horrible.
How?
That was horrible.
You can't rap a present. How you gonna say you better? You know what I'm saying?
That was good. That was good.
You better than Pac.
But I think too, it's a different time now, because I think showing love to somebody is showing weakness, motherfuckers think. You know what I mean? We don't respect. It's cool not to show love no more.
I look at it like, you know how AI went at Jordan. Like, he went, it was at Jordan, but it was out of love. It was like respect. Like, I want to be, want to be just as good as you.
You want to be great, so go after the great. But at the same time, you got to respect, because, I mean, at some point, if you're going at them, they kind of paved the way for you to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I just said, I think today in society, it's not cool. Motherfuckers don't show love. They would rather hate 10 out of 10 times than really just pay that man his respect.
But what if in these certain weird scenarios, it's actually a person's opinion? Like, what if that is? Like, cause you know, certain times it's hate, right? I can be like, yo, I don't like this, and it can really be coming from a hateful thing. But what if under these certain scenarios,
you can't be mad at someone's opinion at the end of the day.
They can word it the right way too.
And you're not disrespectful. Like, I'm a Tupac fanatic,
right.
But there's a lot of Tupac songs that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Like, Matt is like, Matt would listen to every song Tupac ever did. Tupac rapped the ABCs.
What songs Tupac you don't like now?
No, I'm just saying.
Think of one I don't like, man.
He had a lot of songs.
He had a lot of shit. No, I'm saying, like, Matt, if Tupac has a song rapping the ABCs, Matt gonna listen to it. Like, he listen. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm not, I'm saying, like, if it comes on, like, I don't have to necessarily hear it, I will skip it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I'm saying, like, and that's my opinion.
Right.
That's my opinion. Right. Like, to me, a lot of Pac shits, you know, you can, you know, some people are like, oh, I can listen to All Eyes on Me and not skip a song. Right. That's not me. I'm not gonna front and say, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some shit where I feel like, fuck with this today.
Right.
But it's certain songs, certain CDs that you can listen to, you know, like, my favorite Tupac CD was Me Against the World. Because
Me Against the World, baby.
Yeah, I felt like he was more, like, you heard his hurt and you heard, like, you know, so it was like passionate to me. And then All Eyes on Me was my revenge, bitch. You know what I'm saying? My, you know, the revenge, Machiavelli, that was my revenge album. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, people, like, Pac, Suge got this man out of jail.
Yeah.
This man didn't shower, shit, nothing. You know, this man went to the studio.
I heard that. It's not. So you telling me that's 100%
true? That's
100%.
That he came home
and went straight to the studio.
True.
He didn't ask for no pussy.
He didn't ask for shit.
He went straight to the booth. That is, like, way more dedicated. I have never been that dedicated in my life. Like,
that's why
he
has so much material.
Yeah.
I would have did. I would have did a couple of things. Like, he went straight to
the studio. Because you notice he dropped a song, and then 2 days later, they were filming 2 videos.
This one's gonna go out to all our vapor thugs out there. You gotta step up your vape game. This season, check out eliquid.com. Browse through the largest selection of liquid hardware replacement coils, vape accessories, and supplies you'll find anywhere. Replenish your favorite e-liquid, try something new, grab a starter kit, or treat yourself to an upgrade. Whatever you choose, eliquid.com is sure to have it. Value priced and ready to be shipped directly to you in lightning speed. Be sure to check out eliquid.com. Everything vape simplified. Eliquid.com makes vape shopping easier than ever. No need to leave the house in search of specific brands or products. Eliquid.com provides a user-friendly experience and amazingly quick delivery. P.S. It's officially vaping season. That's what Eddie Giggs told me, at least. Find every vaping product you could ever need all in one place. With over 1,800 eliquid hardware replacement coils, vape accessories, and brands totaling over 44,000 items in stock, you'll be all set. Simple as that. I'm telling you, their website is on point, their customer service, direct-to-consumer, all of that. It's the largest unmatched selection to choose from, competitively priced, over 44,000 items in stock and ready to ship. Whether you're on your smartphone or computer, eliquid.com's website will offer one of the most user-friendly shopping experiences around. With easy-to-navigate menus, descriptive product details, and helpful customer reviews, selecting the right product for you will be no problem. Best-in-class customer service available to help you Monday through Saturday. So now, what does the Drink Champs Army get? This is where the special offer comes in. For 20% off your first purchase, visit eliquid.com/drink and use the promo code DRINK during checkout. You got this? It's eLiquid, that's eliquid.com/drink, drink. eLiquid.com/drink, and use the promo code DRINK during the checkout.
Now you were around. Right. You had to be around, right? So what I'm saying is, when I'm looking from the outside in, as crazy as it is, I'm 40 years old. Mm-hmm. I didn't come out in the industry until 97. Well, 97 was my official breakout coming out. Right? So I never met Pac.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to meet him. The shit, it hurts my feelings.
Me too.
Right?
That's how I feel about Big.
I feel like I was right there at every moment Pac was, but like I came after he left. He had just left. I felt like that type of shit, right? But as an outsider looking in, this is just pure fan. I don't have no inside information because I'm in the industry or nothing. It felt like Pac was always in a rush. Like, it just felt like
he knew he wasn't going to be here that long.
I mean, in the lyrics, he's talking like that.
Okay. And I'm an outsider. I don't have no inside information. As a person who actually was there.
That's true. Because, like, you know, I say, like, back to back. You see how fast that double CD came out. So that shows you, like, he was rushing and he had, okay, I got to get this done for this and he'll do this. No, I don't like this. You know, so, and it depended on what Pop you got that day. Mm. You know, one day you might get, you know, Bishop.
Right.
And then the next day you might get, you know, he might feel bad for Brenda and her baby. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it just depended on that Pac, what Pac you got that day, because he truly was a Gemini. Mm. Yeah, so it just really depended on, you know.
Was there ever any truth to him? You know how they say that he was trying to record it as fast as possible to get the contract over with? Like,
that's not true. Right. And I hate when people say, like, you know, people. And that's another thing I said. People always say that's bad shit about Suge. Right. Suge took Pac's money.
That's where the conspiracy came of, that Suge had something to do with it.
First of all, hold on, no way.
Because this is new documentary where they stare.
Unsolved,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically saying that. So I just.
That's some bullshit.
Okay.
People's like they always say, well, Suge was taking Pac's money. Understand, Pac had a past before Pac shot them cops.
Right.
He beat them brothers up.
Right.
Pac was being sued. Pac had legal fees. So every little two and few that Pac got, Pac had to pay.
Right.
So it wasn't like shit. It was like, hey, that, nuh-uh. You know, and it was like Pac was his favorite.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was like,
I could tell that.
Like his son.
Yeah, I could tell
and
that.
And you know how people, they made it seem like Suge talked crazy to Pac? No, he didn't.
Mm.
You know, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. Because Pac demanded him, he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always say, I'm a man just like everybody. That's why, like, Pac couldn't fight, but he would fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And his heart just was, he just had a big heart. Mm-hmm. So he didn't give a fuck. He wasn't gonna like it. You know, if you say some shit to Pac and you know you gonna whoop his ass, he's still gonna, okay, but you're still a bitch ass nigga and you, I'm gonna take this ass whooping. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it just, the people make Suge like, and I'm not gonna say that Suge is innocent. Like, I love the sinner.
You're not gonna
but
say
I hate
he's an angel, you mean?
Right, I love the sinner,
okay.
But I hate the sin. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna say like I like the fucked up shit that he's done, but at the end of the day, that's my uncle and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's make some noise for that, goddammit. Make some noise for Suge Knight, goddammit. Make noise for over here and drink chaps, goddammit. Okay, he's here, girl. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's why I can't wait to do the whole thing with Stars, whoever we do it with, like, because I want to tell the truth. Like, people make it like Death Row was like a prison camp. No, we had fun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sold 100 million records. There's no way y'all couldn't have had fun. Right.
So fun. Like, do you know, like, well, I remember when Suge got the Hummer. I was like, the fuck is this nigga that stole some shit from the Army base? Do you understand, like, a kid from Compton and I'm seeing all this shit, like, at one time?
And he hired all people from Compton.
Everybody from the hood. Whether their relationship went south or whatever, he still hired everybody from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And now that
nobody from that hood can say Suge didn't do nothing for him. Sorry.
If you think about that now, that is what Hov and
Hov and Puff is you know black excellence,
yeah.
Like,
yes,
and it's crazy. He's been doing that because mm-hmm. he hired people from the hood,
right?
And obviously the people from the hood was the same nationality.
Suge paid for kids to go to college. Suge paid off people's mortgages. Suge did so much for people. Like you know, like he would buy the clothes the Compton swap meet and do toy stores every sort give away toys every year. He did a Mother's Day brunch because he's a mama's boy. See, people, Suge, I ain't saying he no bitch, but Suge had a soft side. Suge's a mama's boy. You know what I'm saying? So when women say, like, Suge hit them, because Suge is afraid of his mother. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Not, you know, like, he has mommy fear.
Wow.
So for you to, like, he'll call a bitch a bitch. Because all bitches ain't women, but he'll call a bitch a bitch.
Right.
But as far as that hitting, like, he got too many homegirls and a niece, like, with the shit. He didn't have to do all that. Right. So it's a lot of things that people have said that I want to clarify, you know. And I know I have to protect the guilty on a lot of shit. So, but... I'm excited to do that.
I think that's why it's so important. Like I said, I've always had a vision of this project just being, tell me what other label had Dre at his height, Snoop at his height, Pac at his height, Daz and Corrupt. The list goes on.
A bunch of other ones.
The list goes on. You know what I mean? The writers they had. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I thought it was so important to, and I loved Straight Outta Compton. But to me, it was hard. How do you tell 10 or 15 years of content in 2 hours? You can't.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why when I pitched it to her about it being a series, it was just like...
Similar to like the New Edition. If you remember, like, New Edition story was told perfectly because it was a six...
Right.
It was six episodes,
yeah,
2 hours or some shit like that.
Yeah. So I felt like I heard 137 commercials.
Exactly.
Damn.
So that's what you're saying.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, because she always tells me...
Y'all doing with the death row.
Yeah, she always tells me the good side of these other people, and I try to explain her. She'd be getting mad when she sees the depictions on the movie. I'm like, first of all, it has to be fit for a movie screen. It has to fit a certain time frame.
Ooh,
so you have to.
I'm talking about Easy.
Look at Matt Boss talking to you like a producer. Look at him. So you have to. You sound like a directorial nigga already. Go ahead, man.
That's what I'm doing. So that's why you have to show what they know. You can't show Suge as a mama's boy in anything right now until you have a chance to develop his whole story, because you know Suge is the muscle. And Suge is hanging vanilla ice outside of a hotel, allegedly. You know what I mean? So that's what you know Suge as. So you can't show. You can't show. So that's why we could really develop everybody. And then, you know, my whole thing is, you know, I don't know how everything, because I'm not, she was in it. I wasn't in it, but I just know there's hard feelings, bad blood. But for me, for this project to be the best and the production we got behind it and where it's going, I want to bring everybody back together.
I'm talking about Snoop, I'm talking about Daz and Corrupt.
And I test my teller, no matter who it is, we all just need to sit down and figure out, we all going to figure this out and make this the best motherfucking show ever.
And you want to tell the truth ever.
So how do we do that? Because the thing about it is,
we got to throw the Eagles out the window.
And I have to get past, I think me myself, I have to get past, like, I have,
she's a handful,
I have anger issues.
And I tell you, she got to calm
her ass
down.
And especially when, like, when it comes to, it's like, I have that.
Hey, don't mind me. I got a beast worm, but I'm gonna text him and tell him to be a little late. So
okay,
excuse me,
please,
excuse me on the phone.
Have another drink, please.
He likes Straight Outta Compton. I can only watch it once. We went to see it.
I only watched it once. This is the first. Okay.
So when I saw Straight Outta Compton, I'm looking like, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, wait, maybe this is a different Straight Outta Compton.
Wait,
you know, the movie, because, like, with the way that all this shit went down, like, I was like,
You said in real life.
In real.
Okay.
When I watched the movie, and I'm like, that didn't happen. Oh, okay. And then for them to say that Eric Wright died broke.
Right.
Oh, come on, we'll save that for the show. But Eric Wright, I don't like the way they portrayed Easy. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but
I don't like the way that.
Because I want you to finish. I sincerely want you to finish. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, like in cinema, like we have...
make Easy the bad guy?
Okay, this is what I'm saying. Al Poe and Rich, right? These are these famous drug dealers from New York. And they remade this movie,
Paid in Full,
right?
Classic.
So, and everybody in Paid in Full, this was a recreated story. They had to do this for cinema. They had to make it that way. So people from New York, we all knew that this is not the exact story of the way it went down, but we got to understand entertainment.
Thank you.
Well, that's what he was trying to tell her.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to tell her.
So I love Straight Outta
out of Compton because
as a movie, I
didn't know the ins and outs that she knew. Ooh. You know what I mean? So then she would tell me, well, this is how this part went. I'm just like, you have to understand, they can't go all the way that direction because they have to stay on point. They only have 90 minutes to tell this. They tell 15 years of content. Because we can't branch off and get the small stories.
Right. I asked him, like, I was wondering as a fan, where was Arabian Prince in the film? Yeah.
You don't have enough time.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, he's on the cover of the Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
Has 1 second. Let me interrupt for a quick Drink Champs message. Did you know that every single episode of Drink Champs, and I'm talking to you, Drink Champs Army, every single episode of Drink Champs is now on Spotify. That's right. The same app that has millions of songs now also has thousands of podcasts. You don't really need to listen to all those podcasts, but they're on Spotify. You can listen to all your favorite shows and discover new ones. Like I said, just don't go too deep. Just stick with the Drink Champs and we got you covered. But of course, you know, we got friends and affiliates that you can check out. To subscribe to our show, search for Drink Champs, tap follow, and get every new episode delivered to you. While you're on Spotify, you know, don't forget to check out Nori's page and all his music on there. And also myself, DJ EFN. Follow us on Spotify as well. But check out Drink Champs, the podcast, on Spotify. They're streaming it right now. So don't wait. Makahaya bing bong.
So that's what I tried to explain to her, and I think that's why I sold the pitch to not only her, but the people we're working with now, is because you have to be able to develop and tell. There's so many, now everyone's doing biopics and stuff, and you can't tell that much content in the amount of time they give you, so they have to leave a bunch of holes. So if you know, you can plug holes in. But if you don't know, it's whatever.
I mean, that's why I want to throw an idea out there. How crazy it would be. I know y'all in talks with, and you're about to make closing with stars, but how crazy it would be. The Death Row on Revolt. That shit is just like, that's a story right in itself. Yeah, like, right. Holy shit, Shook and Puff doing business together after all these years later.
You know what's crazy?
That would be crazy, though.
We have a... This is gonna make you guys laugh, but we all go to the same church. We all should, Puff and I. We all have Bishop Noel Jones. We all go to the same church.
Get the fuck
so
out
it
here.
Was at one time, my pastor was trying to get Snoop. I mean, I'm sorry, trying to get Suge and Puff to sit down.
Wait, hold on. This is some. Hold on. You can't just say shit.
She's
like
giving
that.
You a lot of shit we're supposed to be saving, but
you said the pastor. Hold on. Let me stretch out a little bit. Said the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Your pastor.
Bishop Noel Jones, City of Refuge.
She shouted the nigga's name out. You know she wriggledy about her business right now.
Oh, she done been in 3 fights in church, but that's another day.
I get out where I'm mad at.
Right, so hold on. Man, let's stay focused though. Let's
get out where I'm mad at.
You said your pastor was trying to get Shook
and Puff to sit down.
Oh, wow.
And I think Puff was more willing,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Suge, like, see, people don't, you know, when you think about the Pac and Big era right. with the shooting, you only think about Pac and Big. You don't think about the homies that that died, you know, that in the process.
Mm.
Also, you know, when that whole shit was going on, you know, people always say, you know what, Pac, whatever, whatever. Somebody else I know died that day, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, like, people, like, it's a soft side. It's soft side of shit. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like I said, I think Puff was more, you know, willing. And,
what
you know,
year was this? Like, what time
this
frame
was
is
like
this?
It was like 2013. This recently.
So, okay. So
it
time had passed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well, imagine.
Because the way that I actually met Puff was through Rick Ross.
Wow.
I had just got out of jail. And
wait.
Another story.
Wait, Dad.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling this, so I'm just so comfortable with you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's
so
what you want, right?
I
knew you a million years. I just feel like that. Like, you know how you, like, you just meet certain people, you're like, oh yeah, that's my people.
Right.
People you just click with immediately. I'm sorry, but continue.
So, I got out of jail, Rick Ross. He flew me in to Atlanta. He was doing the Let's Do It remix.
Oh, let's do it.
And so he introduced us, and you know, Puff was like really receiving. He was really, you know, like a good. And Puff is like dope as fuck to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm like, you can't say nothing bad about. I can't take nothing. Like, I don't know. The only thing I'm really mad at Puff about that I don't think I'm gonna get over is him not, you know, keeping 112 out longer. That's my only beef with Puff. Right. That's my only beef with Puff. But I think Puff is like dope. He's like creative. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's like I would love to. Like one day do sit down and maybe he and I can do some kind of shit. Like, cause I really admire Puff. Yeah, and he, whenever he sees me, it's love. He, you know, like I remember when Revolt first came when he was in the office in LA and he told, like walked me around and introduced me to people. It was like, whenever she comes up, she's good. Like Ross was going up there a lot as well. Right. So he walked me through.
Now they told me you messed with Ross. Well, yeah. But look, before we get, cause you know, y'all got to get up out of here. Matt, I gotta keep it real with you. What do we gotta do to get Derek Fisher out of here? That move, that was a terrible move. Yeah. Like, I mean, man to man.
Man to man.
Like,
yeah.
I know you're a real man, right?
Right.
Like,
I'm gonna light my joint.
No, I'm just keeping it real. Like, this is man to man. Like, every real nigga in the world was on your side.
Right.
Like that, how did that feel? I don't mean that. I mean that in a respectful, most respectful way, because, like, we wanted you to beat him.
We
wanted you to world star him. We wanted you to actually say it, though. World star!
If y'all could have seen the way he was running around the house screaming, I wish someone would have filmed the shit.
Right.
But my whole thing with that, and before I even go into this story, let me tell you that me and him is cool now.
Okay,
we cool.
Okay.
So I'll get to that, but,
right. But
my
you,
whole
you
thing
did
is
give him the beats.
Yeah. So when I talked to him, I told him when we finally talked, I was just like, I don't agree with you dating my ex-wife. Mm. Some fuck shit to me.
It's still
whatever.
We don't.
But what pissed me off was you were staying in the house I was paying for with my children, and didn't tell me.
Wait, you know what this mean? Is the part I repeat. This is personal.
You're staying in the house I paid for.
Was you him cool, though?
Well, yeah, we were teammates in the Lakers. We was cool. That's like, hung out, had dinner, cool. Teammates had each other's numbers. He used to come to my events.
Puerto Rican. Yeah. I would have stabbed him. Yeah. Stole it out.
No, it was but on some real shit, like, a lot of niggas get killed for much less.
Yeah.
Killed for much less if you want to keep it all the way real. So my whole thing when I told him was, I can get over the fact that, I mean, you fucking with my ex-wife, whatever. You know, I left her. I divorced her. I'm sure she was going to move on.
I'm a petty nigga. I can't get over that. I'm
so
sorry.
I wasn't pressed, but like, whoever knows me is my kids in my life. Like, mm-hmm. I'll die for them. I'll kill for them. I'll do whatever it takes to make them happy. That's who I am. So when you think you can just come and stay in my house and be around my kids without telling me, mm-hmm. that's a real problem with me. Mm-hmm. Real problem with me. So I told him, if you would have came to me as a man and just told me, like, I don't know how you would have broke it to me, but I would have respected the fact. I would have been mad, but I would have respected you because you came to me as a man. If you can come to me as a man, that's how much I'm going to give you. Like I said, I'm not in love with her no more, so my main goal is to keep my kids happy.
Right, exactly.
So if that's the move y'all want to make, that's the move y'all going to make. You deal with whatever comes with that.
Right.
But if you would have came to me as a man and just be like, check this out, bro. This is what's going on. I want to come to you first before you heard it from anyone else. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening. I would have been
But me and you know that's guy code 101.
Already.
It's guy code.
Oh, come on, man.
So that's
it's something you just can't. You're not. Real niggas don't do nothing like that. But he's from, where's he from? Arkansas? I'm not saying everybody out there, but I'm saying whoever was in them circles.
Like,
come on,
like,
man.
Like, for instance, my first marriage was Capone's first cousin.
Right.
So the first day I met her, I told Capone.
You got
I said,
to.
Yo, listen.
That's it.
Look. I have no idea, but I think I just fell in love with your first cousin.
Right.
It's my friend. Mm-hmm. I seen her up in jail, so it's whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I have no problem saying that.
Right.
But it was up front. So now it's not like Tony and, what is it? Scarface. When the guy finds out. It's not like that. It was from the day.
We could talk about it. We could do whatever. You know what I mean? So, but at the end of the day, that was what I told him. When we sat down and when I approached him, that's what I told him. Right. And we cool now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I squashed the beef at the end of the day. And what really made me squash the beef.
She ain't cool with it.
She always wants fun. But I'm saying what made me squash it was my kids. It's just like, my kids really like it. Like, they live together now in the valley. You know what I mean? I kept it so real with this nigga. I'm just like, you're going to be around my kids more than I am, the way our divorce and my visitation and stuff. So you got to teach teach them how to be men and right and wrong and discipline them as you see. You know what I mean? Like, I gave him that kind of power. That's a lot of power, bro. Wow. You know what I mean?
And that's respect. And that's and as long as
it's
he's
about
doing
the kids,
right? Thing,
that's
man,
my whole thing. Like my kid, but my kids told me, like, Daddy, we really like Derek. We want you to be friends with. You know what I mean? And that's the only. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Nobody can argue with that.
You know what I mean? Because I can care less about all the other
boys.
I could have went the rest of my life just staring at the nigga every time, like just wanting to know if I might whip his ass today or not. You know,
yeah,
I could
win
with that.
You could still every but like, now, listen, you know, every five every 5 weeks to every 5 years, if you're still around, you still got to snuff him.
Yeah,
you pick up on it. You say,
but like I said, man, like I said,
you know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day, it's about my kids. You know what I mean? If they happy, they happy. But it's crazy when that shit happened. I got love from the NFL, referees, owners, everyone that saw me on the streets, motherfuckers.
Every person with morals.
Come on, man.
You're like, you
man.
That's what you should. You should have moral game. That should be your clothing line. Moral game. Because you run out all the people with morals. They say they, you know, snakes cut the grass and you know, snakes
you see them.
What you did is every person that had morals said, yo, you know what?
That's just
fucks with him.
Right.
And we hate this other guy. And I'm just saying, that's some dope shit, man. Let's make some for being living a righteous way, man. And I want
to
salute you for that.
I'm trying to rub. He's trying to rub that off on me. Because every time I see it,
you don't believe in forgiveness.
Like, I'm really like when you
God forgives and you don't.
I know. I'm really like on
that
Pac shit. You know, Pac says song for life. Like, that's really how I feel. Like, especially if you fucked up. Like, this is my best friend. So and it's like anybody that's close to me. Like,
did we have a sentimental moment right now?
She took all that shit. She a big ass teddy bear. Don't let her fool you. Right. But she will fuck you up though at the same time. Right. She a teddy bear.
You know, this is my best friend, and you know, it's like certain things like you can't get because you can't really get involved because that affects his kids. You know what I'm saying? Because like, if he didn't have no kids, I would go nuts. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
and
it
I
was just
her.
Like,
I wouldn't trip.
You know what I'm saying? It's the fact that I have to respect it. Like, if I see Derek, I can't be disrespectful because that could possibly affect, you know, his kids. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually a relationship.
You know, I have a problem.
If it was a just, you know, if it's actually a relationship, you got to respect.
Yeah, if I don't like his baby's mother.
That's all it is. I mean, I don't like her, but I'll always love her because she's the mother of my children. She gave me two. So I say all the bullshit she puts me, she gave me two beautiful boys.
And that's why
I never take that. You know what I mean? So
I've never, like, I won't see her and, like, slap her or, you know, do some stuff to her. Like, I respect her because that's like, I would never do anything to affect his kids.
That's what I'm saying.
So she can do whatever she wants. She can say what she wants to say, but God bless you.
Right.
So, all right. So now, what do we want to tell the people before we get up out of here? Because we know y'all got to go. And then, Lacey, I want
to
smoke. I got more weed if you want
to
smoke.
You know, Matt,
I really appreciate both of y'all for coming and just letting me, you know, into y'all lives and, you know, and I like this type of platonic relationship, right? I like
we fight like brother and sister,
yeah,
man.
That's my nigga.
I wasn't talking to her till before she surprised me and came here. Like, I ain't talked to her since the other night?
Yeah.
And she popped up at me talking shit like, no, but it's real, you know, it's real.
So we're going to leave the fans with, you guys got the death row. What is it called?
We haven't had the name yet.
We got a lot of dope shit coming. Like I said, our goal is to bring everybody back together.
And he has
to
write the UAP News story.
Yeah,
he's about to do that.
Is he UAP News from the Bay?
From
too?
Oakland. So, man, we got the rights to that.
We got to set our lives up. Everybody. All of us smoking, we had one lighter.
We're going to do a film on
UAP
News.
You got the life rights.
We got the script and funding already. Like, we're beyond that.
Because I need to know what that means. Because I'm like at not at that type of level.
So we gonna,
so I need to know what you mean. So how do you do that?
So my partner Courtney Benson became tight with the Huey family, the Newton family, Bobby Seale, David Hillier, the foundation, all of it.
Okay, so this is, you're not going to make a Black Panther movie.
It's going to be called Power to the People, but it's going to be a Black Panther movie. So that's why I love all this movement right now.
Not the superhero about
Black
Panther.
Real shit.
We talking about
the real shit. The real shit. And crazy enough is we spoke.
Be mad at you.
Yeah, but it's okay because people get mad at the truth.
Exactly.
You get mad at the truth. You want to be mad at me, it's the truth.
Right.
So at the end of the day, so we talking to, I'm talking to my homeboy Ryan Krugler that just did this last Black Panther. He's from Oakland. He used to play football. My little brother used to be in my house eating up all my food and doing some other shit. I don't want to put that on camera. Not playing. But that's my homie. You know what I mean? So he just killed, what are they at, $318 million and counting right now?
I think 385, what, three?
Shout out Black
like
Panther.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm talking to him about doing this because, I mean, he's from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's got the pulse of Oakland. I want to make this so authentic and tell the story because.
But it's a dangerous story.
If you're not, if you don't know the Panther, if you don't know the Panthers, all you think when you see Black people trying to come together and force change, white people are going to be scared and they're bad. You know what I mean? But let's educate these people and let them know what they're about the program they have from, you know, single moms and, you know, the food they provide. You know, all this. There's bad shit. Just like with Death Row, with Suge, there's bad shit.
Right.
But they did a lot of good shit. You know what I mean? And I think now with our crazy ass president and just the way the world is so cool to be racist right now, you know what I mean? Like, now is the time to really show, like, that's what it is. And I think this is something that could become a movement and everybody's gonna jump on this shit. So we've had, since I announced that, if I would tell you the names that have hit me, the top of the top have hit me. A's, triple plus want to be a part of this, you know what I mean? So
I want T.I.
really
to be in the movie. I just, T.I. has
T.I.
to be.
T.I.
be.
Huey.
No.
T.I. is a human.
No.
Just in the movie. She wants
I need
in the movie.
T.I. because T.I.
There's
like,
a lot of people who do that right
like,
now.
T.I.
Common,
so dope,
T.I.
But,
you know, this is
but
a lot
you know, T.I. You know, T.I. was doing it before it was cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people now, so, like, they want to be on power. So, but, you know, T.I. was, you know,
always
on his militant shit from the beginning.
Yeah.
So
Common was always on some shit like that. There's people who, like, that's why I think, you know, when you think of Beyonce coming out with her concert, when, you know, she's sitting in the wicker chair with the shit, that's how she opened her concert. You always see Alicia,
Super Bowl?
Yeah, you always see Alicia Keys doing, you know what I mean? Like, this is something that we already authentically believe in. So that's why it was so perfect with this Black Panther superhero to kind of start the buzz. And then we hit him with the real Black
Panther
story.
You know what I think that started the buzz was the Nat Turner story, actually.
Yeah.
Nat Turner story. It was like the little spark.
Right.
And then
it opened the door. You know what I mean? And like I said, people are going to be mad. They're going to be, but they're mad at the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mad at the truth. That's not our fault.
Mm.
You don't want to hear the truth. You don't want to hear how you deprived us for hundreds of years. Mm. You know what I mean? You don't want
to
hear that
story.
Right. So you don't. But now we're in a position of power. You got to think Ryan Coogler was a Black man from Oakland, California. I went up to Disney to visit him while he was shooting this Black Panther. And we're walking around. We the only Black people we see besides his homeboy. You know what I mean? Like, we walk around a lot of Disney. He's in Disney. Disney gave him $200 million. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
$200 million.
Disney?
Not 200. It's Marvel.
Wow.
$200 million. He's a Black man from Oakland.
And it was his third film,
right?
Right.
It was Fruitvale Station, Creed, and then
that's
crazy, you know what I mean? So like,
wait, what's Creed?
The boxing shit that had Michael B. Jordan about Rocky.
Yeah.
The new one.
Sylvester Stallone's in it too.
No, he killed Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station was amazing.
He's only 30. From Oakland. Like I said, he played college football with my little brother. So it's just like to see him walking around Disney. You know what I mean? Like, who said, you know, walking around the White House and, you know, what he said. You know what I mean? It's uncharted territory we're visiting right now.
I ain't been invited to the White
you know
House
mean?
Or Disney.
And
I
Trump,
gotta
and
step
Trump,
my life
and
up.
What Trump doesn't know is what Trump is doing with all this bullshit ass race of the ideologies and the people he has fucked, he's bringing us together. You know what I mean? We realize, I think some Black people got comfortable thinking, okay, we got money, we had a Black president, like, we made it. These motherfucking white people still don't fuck with us, no matter how much.
If you would have won a championship during
we
the Trump
never
era.
No, we did, but last year. We decided early on we wasn't going. And remember, that's what he said, something to Steph and all that. Like, we knew he wasn't going to the White House.
Just,
yeah, that was last season.
Shit.
Yeah, we had no
they
plan on going.
Said that earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't catch it.
We had no plan on going. Yeah.
Damn, yeah, and that's
when
niggas did not go see Trump.
When we did,
niggas
we
said
no
fuck
plan,
Trump.
You know what I mean?
Y'all like niggas is rappers on the low. That was some rapper nigga shit right there. Niggas said, I'm not going.
Right.
Words.
So, if Trump invited you to the White House, would you go right now?
Yeah. And people get mad at that, but it's our truth.
You can't get mad.
Come on, man.
Gotta ask you, sis. All political things aside, Trump say, I want to have dinner with you. At the White House, you ain't going?
If you talking about paying for some pussy, I'd go.
I did not think you was gonna answer like that. You definitely
I'm like,
won
no,
this.
I wouldn't go.
You definitely won that. I didn't even know that answer existed. I was like, AB.
You know he paying pussy.
You were in
ABX. Did you see?
Like,
you know the woman? He's the prostitute, the hooker.
Yeah,
I go.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I said, you know.
Yeah, he's breaking them all.
You giving them real dollars. Like,
you saying Trump
lawyers?
Yeah, I would have to talk to the boo
Trump
and be like,
really
Trump giving out money.
Like,
He living like a CEO?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, living like he running Death Row.
Hell no. And that's like Death Row really did something for the world.
No, that's a fact.
Trump ain't did shit for the, like, but oh, you know, brought shit together. You know what I'm saying? So
let's not get into politics. It'll get ugly.
Yeah, well, let me tell y'all, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Us, we really thank y'all. We enjoy the time. That's what we do. In case anybody don't know, if you've ever watched the shows, our show is about bigging up our legends. Mm-hmm. People, so many times in our culture, you know, a person get 10 years in this game and they want to tell them that it's over for them. But black don't crack, man. Mm-hmm. So why should it be over for us? We're one of the first people that was part of hip hop. He was a famous DJ, Miami's Mixtape King. I'm a rapper, and we came together and we chose to honor people who've been in this game seasoned.
Got to.
You can't be on here 1 year in this game. You have to have 10 years or more to be here. You have to be a legend. And we wanted to always salute our legends. So this is what this platform is for.
Dope.
And because not to interrupt you, yes, but you're dope.
Yeah, oh, thank you so much.
You're dope. I'm a fan. Like,
Struggle's my nigga. I don't know if you knew that. I used to see that nigga. I only took like four private jets in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And out of the fourth or fifth time, I seen Sugar in like three of them. And I would just see him. He'd be like, yo, you keeping it together? I'd be like, I'm keeping it together.
Yeah, like,
so we were moving like I did some fly. That was some fly shit. I didn't even know it was fly until I thought about it just now. One day, I was going to the West Coast. Both of our jets had landed, and we had to switch jets. It was him. Like, I don't even remember where he was at. I see Sugar. He said, what's up, buddy? I said, you keeping it together? He's keeping it together. Boom. That was some real shit.
But I love your music. Like, you're dope.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You remember we met at Charlemagne's book signing.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And this is in LA, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
We at Barnes & Noble's at the Grove.
Yeah. We talking some fly shit. Yeah. Talk about it.
Right.
And now, Charlemagne really loves you.
Yeah, that's my dog.
You really the people that, like, people should holler at when you come out here because your heart is good.
You're
pure.
Thank you.
So how did you like develop that? And I know y'all gotta go, so
make it quick.
She
got a podcast coming out too.
I have a
podcast.
Do CBS. I start. Whoa! I shoot my podcast.
So we started.
We can't even hate on them.
So we're gonna do that.
I wanted to be like, fuck them niggas, whoever you're about to say, but it's CBS, no. And we love them.
No, we
love them. They're great people.
I had a grandmother and that really had, you know, taught me a lot of stuff. Like, she taught me you never met a stranger, so you have to treat everybody a different way. So that's my whole thing.
Wait up, time out. Your grandmother said you never met a stranger.
You never met a stranger because you don't know how God is coming back, so you have to treat everybody.
You know what I say? This is my saying. Is I met you before.
Yeah.
It's similar to that.
Yeah.
I've met you before. Right. I might not met you. I met a different version of you.
Right.
I've met because I'm saying I'm 40 years old. I really feel like I'm 69 though.
Yes.
I don't know why I said 69. That was weird, right?
But like, I got you.
But you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm even older because I really traveled the world. I did a lot of things. I've been in jail. Yeah. I did everything. And it's like, I feel like I'm Mr. Miyagi. Like, you know, I feel like I'm very, very old.
I feel sad.
But
better with the age.
You know what I'm saying?
I was angry, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I think, like, not to be sentimental, but when he and I, like, got close, you know, it became cool, you know what I'm saying? Because I had somebody, like, that really got my back because of me. Right. Not because, she can call somebody to get you fucked up, or she knows this person, or she hangs with this person. It was on some real, genuine type,
I saw a lot of her in me, like, if I didn't play in the NBA. Like, I just really have a lot of, I don't give a fuck, because if you disrespect, you know what I mean?
How did y'all even connect? How did this even
happen? At a Love and Hip Hop premiere, she bumped me and tried to punk me and some shit like that. So, what I said? I said something like, who the fuck are you? Like,
something like that.
We watched the premiere.
Walking. I said, you need to watch where the fuck you going. No, I said, somebody to watch where the fuck you going. He said, you need to watch where the fuck you going.
I didn't know who she was. She just came to me.
disrespectful as fuck. So I'm just like, oh, fuck you all. I don't know who she
and
was.
This was fresh off the Ray J shit, too.
So she might have had someone to whoop my ass in the long run, but I know right in front of me she wasn't going to do shit, so I can say what I want to say. You feel me?
And then after that, we just, it's just been like nonstop.
It was organic.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like I said, not knowing who she was, who she related to, her Death Row ties, and then come to find out I'm the biggest Pac fan in the world. You know what I mean? It's Snoop and Dre, and I'm just like, these are people you grew up with. I'm like, God, that's fucking crazy.
Right.
And just, that was it.
So this is the last question, I promise. I promise. I know I went real over time.
Bleacher Report, if I'm late, it's because of Nori. So hit up Revolt TV.
Oh, yeah, the Bleacher Report got me the other day.
Yeah,
it got
so
me
that's
the other day.
I was supposed to be there, but that's how, I'm not sure who we were. I just got
I think it's a wrong documentary you got to do. Yeah. This is a how important, because when people are looked at, what do they call biopics?
Mm-hmm.
Biopics, right? Let's look at the last couple of biopics, right? We're talking about Straight Outta Compton,
mm-hmm.
right? Biggie, the Notorious mm-hmm. Big, I forget what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And Pox, right? Mm-hmm. And what else did we have?
Hip-hop-wise?
This is it?
Yeah, that's pretty much. It.
Okay, now, if you had to pick those three, cinematically and just movie-wise, we would all agree that Straight Outta Compton
was the best one.
Was the best one, right?
Far,
not about the real story.
Yeah, but it was a total
like just cinematic.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
How important is that for y'all? Because the thing is, I noticed you say something earlier. You said you wanted to bring everybody all together.
Authentic,
right?
Man.
All together, because there's certain people who have things in that era. But sis, I seen you kind of like, you threw shade to Wack 100 today, mm-hmm. you threw a little to...
But Wack was never with Death Row, so there was no reason, there was no shade for that.
Okay.
Like I said, I wish Daz would like get over it, because like, you know, that shit, it's like 20 plus years, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Let it go. Like, it's time, like, we got more years behind us than we have in front of us. So it's sometimes, you gotta let shit go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, and
she
it's...
be stealing my sayings and saying them on camera now. They
no, that
sweet.
Was mine. He stole that from me. We ain't gonna get into that.
But as an outsider looking in, and that's purely what I am,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you and Wack are more stronger together.
Right.
It's stronger together.
And it's not even Wack so much, it's just her and other people. You know what I mean? Like I said, and that's what I work on. That's why I kind of like, I'm the, you know, the sane side of what she's talking about, because I see the bigger picture. You know what I mean? Like, they may not like each other, they may not this, but this is where we can put some money back in everybody's pocket and hire the homies from the hood to run security.
But it's just disrespect.
I get it.
I can't have you disrespecting one of the greatest men to me that dawned the planet. Think I would be, you know what I'm saying? That's like, you just my homie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's like, let me tell you, when I met, after I met Mobb Deep,
you're talking too much, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm. When I met Prodigy, what's up, Havoc?
Yeah.
I don't even listen to Hit 'Em Up the same. Hit 'Em Up was my song. Right. You get what I'm saying? Like, I knew that shit back and forth. The end when Pac was my fofo, that was my shit.
Right.
Now that I've met these people, I've grown, it doesn't have the same effect. Because Hit 'Em Up would make me want to go kill like 40. I was on the jet to New York.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's how Hit 'Em Up. But now that I'm older and I hear it, that shit, I'll be like, oh, nah, Pac was mad right here. Let me turn this on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have the same effect. It's still my shit, though.
Honestly,
you know what I'm saying? It's like how no Vaseline, like, I don't listen to certain songs like the same anymore. Like, I laugh now at Dre Day and when Real Motherfucking G's. That actually was one of my favorite songs when the shit came out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that shit.
That's right.
But it's just, you can't, I would never disrespect. Like, all these people that I have that had beef back in the days, we speak, we talk, it's all loves. But, and it's from somebody that was never in the life in the beginning, shouldn't have that much of an opinion. That's like, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to go in and tell the surgeon how to do his fucking job. I'm not going to tell Matt how to go down the court and dribble. I'm not going to tell you how to get on the mic, because I can't live it. I haven't lived that life. So for my thing with him is, the disrespect is just uncalled for. First, you know, it's like you dissing these people, who you going to disrespect next? Snoop? You know what I'm saying? Snoop is a legend.
What?
You know, I just don't like the way Bone Thug and Harmony, I don't give a fuck if Crazy Bone feel like the Migos is whatever, that's his fucking opinion, and he has that right to have that opinion because that's his life. Them niggas still selling out shows.
Yep. Well,
Well, you drive trucks for a living. How you gonna tell somebody something? Okay, well, we gotta go.
As a New York outsider, I hope y'all all get it together. Yeah. We want everybody to get it together. Yeah. We pray for peace. We pray for unity. And thank y'all for coming to Drink Champs.
Thank you for having us.
Take a picture, do a drop, and get up out. Let y'all go. Thank y'all so much, man. Let's make some noise. Yo, this is legendary. Just so y'all know.